All right, Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. So again, Revelation chapter 17 was revealing who Mystery Babylon is, who the mother of harlots is. And chapter 18 is her destruction. And this all takes place during the tribulation. Not before the tribulation, but during the tribulation, Jesus will come and judge this great harlot, the mother of harlots, as she is called in verse number 5 of chapter 17. It says, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And again, chapter 18 tells of her destruction and how the world will bemoan and weep and cry over her destruction because they have been made rich by her. They have had success by her because that is what the Antichrist, just as the devil did with Jesus there in the wilderness, telling him, you know, bow down, worship me, I'll give you all the riches of the world, and Jesus wouldn't do it. Yet all the leaders of the world will yoke up with the Antichrist because that is what they want. They want the riches, they want the power and all of that, but their destruction will come. There'll be those, again, in the tribulation who will take the mark of the beast. They will worship the image. They'll worship Satan. It is satanic worship that is going on worldwide like it never has before during the tribulation, but God brings sudden destruction upon the Roman Catholic Church, the revised Roman Empire. All right. Before we get started in the verse, just a couple of headlines like I've been bringing. You already know that the USA, we sent in to the Mediterranean Sea, we sent in aircraft carriers, one aircraft carrier, destroyer, and they're sending a second one. The UK is sending two aircraft carriers as well to assist Israel. Now, it all looks good, but we have to understand that Israel has no true friend. They have no true friend as far as countries go. The USA will say that they are. We've had different presidents, yes, but as a country, as a whole, they have no true friend, all right? There's already people in the Senate House that are calling for Israel's destruction, and they're more concerned about Hamas and the people that are being killed there than they are about all the Israelis that have been killed and abducted and murdered as well. But when you think about prophecy and you think about the end times, just kind of imagine this as you look at the map. Let's see if I got my pointer here. Right down here. Come on. Not going to do it, are you? Way down here. Here's Israel, way down here. All right. Now, if you've got some U.S. destroyers and aircraft carriers as well as U.K. here in the Mediterranean Sea, well, Turkey has already said that if U.S. gets involved, they're going to start attacking. Lebanon, which is right north of Israel, as well as Syria, they've already started doing, not airstrikes, but they've already been bombarding northern Israel as well. Egypt is not a friend. Here are all the enemies of God's people in the east as well as the west, but the Bible specifically says that the Euphrates River is going to dry up to make a way of the kings of the east, all right? So though right now it looks like, okay, great, you know, UK and the US are coming to Israel's defense, but kind of just picture, what does that do? You've got these warships in the Mediterranean, then you have the countries surrounding Israel as well as Hamas there in the Gaza Strip, as well as there's terrorists in the West Bank as well. Israel really is surrounded. Now, I mean, again, it pictures, you know, like, you know, the UK and Israel and the US are coming to aid Israel, but don't be fooled by that, all right? Because in the end, it does say that all countries will be against Israel. Now, looking at this one, this just shows the Gaza Strip down there on the left. You got the West Bank, but obviously from the Gaza Strip is where Hamas came into some towns and killed over 1,200 Israelis. All right. And I've even saw where they're trying to say, no, the pictures of the babies being beheaded, that's not real. Yeah, it is real, because you have those on the Israeli side saying, yeah, it is. I mean, we've gone in there. We've seen this, all right? But, again, you have people in our government, elected officials, who are really calling for the destruction of Israel because their background is Muslim. It is the enemies of God, all right? But again, it all goes into Revelation and what is coming, all right? So, I mean, it's nothing to fear, but again, World War III is just on the horizon, if it hasn't already started. And you think about just what they're saying, that, again, Turkey's saying if the USA, if we intervene and we start helping Israel, you know, by attacking Hamas, they're going to attack. Now you have more talk of nuclear weapons. I mean, it's already, Russia, we already know Russia has it, China has it, but just recently, even Netanyahu kind of said that they have it as well, without directly saying, but indirectly saying publicly that they have nukes as well, and they will use them, because he's already said they're going to annihilate the Gaza Strip. They're going to bring it to a rubble. Well, again, when you've got all this tension going on in the Middle East and these countries who really are against Israel, it's amazing when Israel tries to defend itself, they're called the bad guys. Well, the Bible talks about that, where they call evil good and good evil, all right? Not too many people are condemning what Hamas did, all right? But looking at Revelation chapter 18, the destruction, I mean, all this is just culminating, coming together like the Bible has told us. All this chaos, all this world chaos is going to usher in what is already ready, and that is the one world government. It's already ready. It's already set. There's already a person ready to take that position as the one world leader. We don't know who he is yet. All right, but we know this is the agenda, is to usher in the one world government, the one world order, which they're calling the Great Reset, if you've heard that term in the past couple of years, with the one leader, the one religion. Again, how do you get everybody, how do you get all the false religions to fall under one religion? Well, that one religion must have open arms to all gods and all religions. And that is exactly the Roman Catholic Church. They love everybody. And again, recently, the Pope is going to say that homosexuality is okay. It is accepted by the church. All right? But again, in 1 John chapter 4, take your Bibles, go to 1 John. I mean, keep a finger here in Revelation, but go back to 1 John chapter 4. All right? 1 John chapter 4. In verses 1 through 3. Now, I know the past several Sundays I've been really talking about, you know, the Roman Catholic Church and how it is the harlot riding the beast. It is the mystery, Babylon the Great. Because we need to understand it, and we need to understand that we as Baptists, again, did not come out of the Catholic Church. We are not Protestants. Baptists have been since the days of Christ, a body of believers believing only in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and following his doctrines, following the word of God, following the truth that baptism is by full immersion. We do not sprinkle babies. We pray over babies, dedicate them to the Lord. We don't sprinkle them as salvation. Okay, now they're sealed and all of that, right? But the Bible does tell us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. God tells us through his word that we're not just supposed to believe everything that claims to be Christian, but we are to try the spirits that are behind these churches, behind these movements, and behind even Christian music, all right? We've got to try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. As John pens those words, in his day, he's saying, you know, the spirit of Antichrist, it's already there. Well, yeah, because they crucified Christ. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him. So the spirit of Antichrist is already and has already been in the world, working in the world, but it's getting more blatant, it's getting stronger, it's getting louder. Again, when you have a so-called church and they call themselves Christian, that everything they do and everything they believe goes against the Bible, that's not of God. I mean, just simply go back to Exodus chapter 20 and look at the commandments. We're told that you're not to make any graven images of things in heaven or things in earth. We're not to bow down and worship. Well, the Catholic Church is all about that. It's all about their idols and their statues and, again, worshiping Mary instead of worshiping Jesus Christ, right? And all the fallacies of the church that the Pope and the priests and the archbishops and all of them, they know that it's a false religion. They know it's a demonic religion that is leading people to hell. It's leading people to hell. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31. Keep a finger of Revelation, but go back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, and I want you to look at verses 31 to 45. This is the account of Nebuchadnezzar's dream of this golden statue. So Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 through 45. The Bible says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." I mean, just stopping right there, verse 34, that's Jesus Christ when he comes back and destroys this church and destroys the system. "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Because Jesus' reign, his kingdom is going to fill the whole earth, just like the devil's kingdom for 7 years fills the whole earth. Jesus' kingdom is going to come, destroy the one world religion, the one world government, and he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Verse 36, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So right off the bat, Daniel lets King Nebuchadnezzar know that Babylon is the head. All right? I mean, when you look at the statue up on the screen, each part of the body represents a world power throughout history. Okay? There's always been someone wanting to have that world power. It started all the way back in Nimrod, the Tower of Babel. Okay? He was worshipped as God. He was the political leader, and he had his political system, but God discomfited them, confounded them with different languages and stuff. Let's see here, verse 38, and where, let's go to verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. The iron, obviously, is the Roman Empire. Remember, during the days of Christ, it was the Roman Empire that was in control. All right. Verse 41, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. I mean, so when you look at the statue, I mean, you look at the different empires throughout history, starting with Babylon, then the Medo-Persia kingdom, and then Greece, and then the legs of iron being Rome from 168 BC to 476. Obviously, they lost. I mean, they weren't the world government any longer. They weren't ruling the world after 476 AD, but it did not cease to exist. They just lost their power. And then the feet and iron clay, in these last days, is going to be the Papal Rome and the modern nations of Europe, right? You've got the European Union, got these countries that have aligned themselves together, Rome, Italy being part of that. But when you think about how many, I know, like on this, I was trying to find different slides and stuff, but how many toes? How many toes are there? 10, 5 on each foot, right? 10. Back in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 12, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. All right, so there's 10 kings during this time that are given power by Satan, by the beast, given power to rule with him for 1 hour. These kings, these kingdoms, these 10 kingdoms, and we kind of looked at even where they want to do 10 different regions around the world, no longer sovereign countries or anything, but 10 distinct regions with their 10 rulers or their 10 kings, and it's all being, I'll say, overlooked by the Roman Catholic Church, the revised Roman Catholic Church, all right? So when you think about this, I mean, this is what's going to take place in the tribulation is all religions will cease to exist. Well, how are you going to get the truth not to exist anymore? Can you get true Bible-believing, born-again Christians to go along with it? I mean, you can get false religions to go along with it because you realize who's the head of every false religion? The devil. Because who's the head of the true church? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the head of the true church. The devil's the head of every other false religion. He just has different names and in different countries and how they worship. I mean, Baal, Moloch, I mean, all these different gods throughout time. Zeus, all right? Hercules, I mean, all these false gods that have been worshipped and are being worshipped, all right? The devil's the head of all that. So you know what? The Hindus, the Muslims, all these different, not a problem joining up with the One World Church during the tribulation because they're all against true Christians anyway. But how do you get people to go along with it who are not, who know the truth? Well, you got to get rid of them. You got to kill them. But I believe, again, according to Scripture, in Revelation chapter 4, we will be raptured out. Then the Antichrist will come onto the scene. It's possible, though, I'll say this, it's possible that when we're raptured out, we might see who the Antichrist is before we're gone. Because the Bible does tell us in 1 Thessalonians that the Holy Spirit has to be removed before the Antichrist can do what he's going to do. Because right now the Holy Spirit is keeping, yes, there's sin, there's wickedness in the world, there's evilness already going on, but the Holy Spirit's keeping the majority of it at bay. All right, he's keeping the Antichrist from coming on and doing what he wants to do. But when the Holy Spirit's removed, the church is removed, all the born-again believers are removed, then he's able to come in, kind of like a vacuum effect. You take all the good out, well, you've got all this, space that needs to be filled, and it's going to be filled with wickedness and evilness, all right? So, it's possible that, we'll know who the person is, and then we're gone, But again, all this is happening during the tribulation, the one world religion, the one world leader, the Antichrist, the one world economy, and all of that, all right? So again, when you look at the statue, all right, God revealed it to he revealed it to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel gave the interpretation of it, and we're getting back into this is all going right back to what God has said. And again, we're reading things that we're not going to be here for because we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The next chapter, chapter 19, talks about that, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Talks about coming back on white horses behind Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. Because we go up, but then we come down with him, and we will see him destroy the enemies of God and set up his kingdom. And we get to just be a part of that, but not doing anything, just riding on white horses, being dressed in our white fine linen, and all that good stuff that's going to take place. Now, again, how can one religion take over the entire world? What can they do to influence government bodies and ordinary people? How do you convince somebody or get someone to believe that you're right and everybody else is wrong? How do you get people to hate Israel so much? Well, you got to get into their minds. You got to brainwash them. You got to convince them. The public schools are doing a great job in brainwashing kids. The universities are doing a great job in stripping young Christians' faith away from them because, you expect to be at school hearing truth, being taught truth, and when a young person's faith is not solid and they're not solid in their walk with the Lord and they go into a university that's not I won't even say Christian university because even, unfortunately, you got some bad Christian colleges and stuff. But when you have someone going into a secular college and part of their course, they have to take psychology and they have to take all these different subjects, and you just hearing the falseness, you hear the lies that are being taught, if you don't have a strong stand and you're not grounded in the Word of God, you'll just believe it. You'll just believe it. Now, with that being said, I already said this before, but Pope Francis is a Jesuit. The Jesuit order started back in the 1400s, 1479. And I believe so. And the Jesuits, their whole thing, without getting into all of it, they want to take over the world. Right? Again, well, they're part of the Catholic Church, all right? The Jesuits were never supposed to be pope. There's a black pope and a white pope. I've already told you this. The black pope, he's behind the scenes, and those are Jesuits. The white pope is the one that's out in front. He's the one you see. He's the one that, you know, blesses everything. He's the one that people bow down and worship and kiss the ring on his finger. Did you know that actually they used to have to bow down and kiss the feet of the pope? And then they changed it to kissing the ring. I mean, it's okay, you're worshiping a man. But again, the Jesuits want to take over the world. And the way that the only way they can do that is to infiltrate every area of society. Churches. Governments. High schools. Colleges. I mean, every area of life. And I want to read you something because, again, this is truth. This is fact. It's all part of pushing people to the one world religion, the one world government that is coming. I mean, this isn't some, you know, this isn't some conspiracy theory that, oh, you know, here we go again, you know, those Baptists are talking about, you know, end times. No. It's what the Bible says. It is what you realize. And I'll try not to get off on rabbit trails. You realize that there are people who don't even believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the rapture, but they're called preppers because they're prepping for the end of the world. They know it's coming to an end, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. But they know that the world's coming to an end, and they're going to have to fight against the government. They got to stockpile all this food to survive. I mean, that mindset's in the world. Now, praise the Lord that, you know, again, we're on the winning side, right? Our Savior's coming for us, okay? But again, those that are on the devil's side, they want everyone else to believe that, you know, those Bible-believing Christians are nuts. They're the lunatics. You don't want to believe them. You don't want to listen to them. But you can listen to the Pope. You can listen to that church because that's the right church. But again, I want to read this to you. This is from Wikipedia online in regards to Jesuit universities around the world. Let's see. The current listed total on this page is 189 colleges and universities around the world. Paul Grindler has authored a history of Jesuit schools and universities from 1548 to 1773. In it, he notes that the Jesuits had established over 700 colleges and universities across Europe by 1749, with another 100 in the rest of the world. But in the aftermath of the Jesuit suppressions of the 18th, 19th centuries, because there were some countries like, oh, these Jesuits are no good, and they like shut them down. All right, shut down colleges and stuff, all right, because they're not good, all right. They are of the devil. They do work for the devil, all right. All these schools were closed. All 700 were closed. The following schools, though, were established in the post-suppression period. Secondary schools, along with sixth forms, contained in the listing below. Now, I won't go through, but again, 189 colleges in all the continents, I mean, around the world, I mean, even in Kenya, of all places, they have these Jesuit schools. And again, what do you think a Jesuit school is going to teach? Well, just like a secular university, they're going to teach worldly things. They're going to try to tear down someone's faith and change their thinking, reprogram them to think and believe what they are all about, all right? Again, Why are so many, just recently, I mean, okay, you had the one Hamas leader, you know, wanted his people to rise up this past Friday and start killing Christians and Jews around the world. And we didn't see that, but we saw a lot of pro-Palestinian marches and stuff, even in our country and in around the world in different places. I mean, all pro-Palestinian, but wait. Those are who came in and slaughtered men, women, children, and elderly in Israel and took many back captive that nobody knows where they're at. Don't know if they're still alive or not. But we're going to be sympathetic to the Palestinians and not towards Israel. But see, that's the mindset of the world. Israel's bad, everybody else is good. Now, it makes no sense, but when you read the Bible, well, okay, according to the Bible, that's the way it is. All right. But when you look at this listing, you think, wow, you know, in some places they have multiple colleges. Other places, I mean, they give the names and stuff. And I've already told you, right here in America, we have these colleges, these Jesuit colleges, that are all about, again, getting people into key positions, journalism, in the government. And there's 29. Now, this says 20. The last, a year ago, I looked, I researched this, and actually, a year ago, there may be some closed, but it was over 30, 37 that I remember. But Wikipedia only lists 29 of them here in our country. And again, Georgetown University right there in Washington, D.C. is the most prominent one, because Georgetown University, it's all about politics. It's all about preparing someone to go into politics. Again, if you want to get someone to believe your ideology and become a part, I'll say, of your team, well, you got to brainwash them. You got to make them believe that you're right and everybody else is wrong. All right? So, I mean, the devil has infiltrated our country and other countries as well, because it's all about getting to this one world religion. It's all about world power. All right? But God tells us, again, try the spirits. That's why I keep saying, you cannot just trust everything that claims to be Christian. You better check the music that you're listening to. Just because it's Christian and comes from a Christian bookstore does not mean it's godly music. Even the, I mean, just the things that you allow in your mind, that you listen to. That's why you can't trust every news source, all right? We as Bible-believing Christians cannot be gullible that we just believe everything that is said on the news. Well, you know, they're there, they're on the ground, they see what's happening. You cannot believe, because, you know, without, I keep getting off on these rabbit trails, but I just want to understand the severity of where we're at in history. I want you to, not to scare you, because God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Having a sound mind that, you know what? I know what's happening over in the Middle East. I know that with Israel being attacked, I mean, all the other countries, they want Israel. I mean, they're getting ready to do some ground operations in Gaza where they're going to go in. I mean, they already said, they've already been bombing it and stuff, okay? I'm telling you, don't be surprised in the next week or two you hear where all these countries start, you know, trying to bomb Israel and try to annihilate. Because, I mean, years ago, the president of Iran said he wants to annihilate Israel, blow them off the map. Okay, well, you know, hasn't been able to. You know what? They're not going to. God will bring all the enemies of God together against Israel into one place so God can judge the enemies of God, all right? Again, when you just think about just the different things, I mean, just the Bible is so true, and the Bible reveals so much to us. But chapter 18, I want you to think about this. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, God gives three different announcements of judgment against Babylon, the great Babylon. Verses 1 through 3, the first judgment against it, says, "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean, hateful bird." Well, yeah, because The religion's demonic. Babylon is demonic. It's full of demons. It's full of idol worship and so forth. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So the Bible's clear that the kingdoms and the kings of this earth are made rich by this establishment, by Babylon the Great, by the Roman Catholic Church, by this one world order. Verses 4 through 20 is the second announcement of judgment against Babylon. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Remember, there's seven plagues that are coming against Babylon. But again, God gives his people, he gives people a chance. Come out of her. People have the opportunity right now to come out of that religion. Anyone who seeks the truth will find the truth, because God promised anyone that seeks him with all their heart, they'll find him. Because again, when you read history, true history, again, when you even think about Martin Luther, he was a Catholic priest. But reading the Bible, which was forbidden for the lay people, forbidden for the common people, they can't read it. But as he was reading it, he realized, as the Bible clearly teaches, it's salvation by faith, it's grace from God, not of works. He said, "I can't do this anymore." And he went to Rome, he went there to the Vatican City to tell them, to show them it's faith. It's faith in Jesus, it's not works. We're doing it all wrong. They'd have none of it. So he goes back, and on his church is when he nails the 95 thesis on that church, saying why the Catholic Church is wrong. All right. So, I mean, just him being an example, he was seeking the truth. God showed him the truth. He came out of it. All right. Now, the denomination has gone backwards since that time. Okay. But what I want to understand is those that are in that religion, if they seek God with all their heart, God will show them the truth. But then they have to make a decision. Am I going to stay, or am I going to leave? God is calling, come out, all right? I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." All right? God does not find joy in destroying lives. There's judgment against the enemies of God and those that refuse to repent, but God's not, you know, can't wait, you know, to destroy them. All right. God gives a chance. For her sins, verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." What iniquities? Where she has killed prophets and killed saints. She's drunk with the blood of saints. All throughout history, this institute has murdered in cold blood innocent people who refuse to be a part of their religion, refuse to turn their back on their Lord Jesus Christ, refuse to recant from being baptized by immersion, and they were slaughtered throughout history, right? So God keeps track. You know what? I don't have to keep track of someone who constantly does me wrong. God's keeping track. And one day God will repay those who have done evil and wickedness. He will repay them. Their cup will be overflowing. All right. Remember, she's drunk. She has a cup in her hand. And as we keep reading real quick, God's going to fill that cup up. Oh, that's the cup you want to drink? He's going to fill it up. Because remember, you had James and John, whose mother came to Jesus and said, you know, "Let my two sons sit on either side of you when you sit in your glory." And the Bible records that Jesus turned to them, to James and John, and said, "Can you drink of the cup that I drink of?" They said, "Oh yeah, we can." Not knowing what the cup represented it, because it was a cup of wrath that Jesus was going to partake on the cross of Calvary, where all man's sin kind would be poured upon him, and Jesus would experience God deserting him. Because he cries out, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And James and John says, oh yeah, we can drink of that cup, not knowing, you know, what cup it was. And Jesus said, well, you're going to drink of that cup, because they died martyrs' deaths. But he said, but to sit on my right hand and left hand, that's up to the Father. That's not up to me. All right. Now, in verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. All right. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. Well, what is the Catholic Church called? Holy Mother. Right? They worship the Queen of Heaven. I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication live deliciously with her, basically yoked up with her, okay, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So, I mean, it's going to be destroyed. They're going to see the city of Vatican, the Vatican City, destroyed, because that is the seat. All right? We already talked about that, where Rome is on seven hills. The Vatican City is there. It is the seat of Satan. It is what's used. The false prophet coming out of that institute gets the whole world to bow down and worship the beast and to worship the image. All right? The kings of the earth who have committed fornication, live deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Now, there are those that believe it's going to be nuclear that destroys the city, and that's why they're all standing afar off, because obviously the radiation and stuff, they can't get too close. Keep reading, but for time's sake we won't. You keep reading, the merchants in the sea, I mean, they're out there on their ships and they're seeing the smoke arise, but it's all the judgment of God, because very quickly, back in chapter 17, verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. But again, verse 17, God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will of judgment against Babylon, against this system that has been around since Nimrod. It all comes to a culmination where God pours out his wrath and he uses the evilness of men. Because again, the Antichrist is the one who destroys her. She's the one that kind of helped him get in that position and lifted him up, the Antichrist, before the world. And obviously he gets assassinated. Then he's resurrected and sits down in the third temple that's rebuilt there in Jerusalem and demands to be worshipped as God. For he doesn't need her anymore. He doesn't need the false church anymore, because he's got what he wants. And now he destroys. But again, it's God. Nothing happens without God. God uses the wickedness of men to bring judgment upon the wickedness of man. See, I mean, you just keep reading that. It's wonderful how we're on the winning side. And God is in control. And you and I are going to be up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, we'll just go on next week to chapter 19 to get to that, because we only have a couple more chapters. But from chapter 4... And all this is happening after the rapture. I mean, we're just up in heaven enjoying ourselves, not seeing any of this. And all of a sudden, I mean, the trumpet's going to sound. We're going to mount our horses and we're going to ride after Christ. And he's going to come and he's going to destroy the beast and the false prophet there at the Battle of Armageddon. Let's see here. I'll save those. I got some more, but I'll save those. But anyway, just remember that we do need to be mindful of where we're at on God's timeline. Not to be fearful. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. We need to have the mind of Christ that, you know what, as we see things happening, again, you're going to have people say, oh, where's the promise of his coming? You're going to have people even quote scripture. Well, remember, Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of war, so that's all this is. Jesus said that back then to his disciples over 2,000 years ago. We're a lot further along on the timeline, so where we're at now, oh, well, it's just, you know, Turkey, they're just saying they're going to get involved. No, this is where we're at. All right? This is where we're at. We're at the end of the church age. How much longer? I don't know. But we need to have that mindset that, you know what? At any moment, that trumpet could sound and gone. So who around me do I need to tell about Jesus and tell them, hey, you know they want a one-world government. It's all over the news. I mean, they want that. I mean, it's talked about the UN. It's talked about the World Economic Forum, all of this. The world knows it. There are people that want it. Yeah, we need a one-world government. I mean, it's an open door. I mean, what's happening with Israel right now is an open door to talk to people. Especially if someone brings it up to you. What do you think about what's going on? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. You need to be ready, right? Because it's not going to end well. It'll end well for the Bible-believing, born-again Christian, right? But it's not going to be pretty for those left behind that have to endure until the end if they decide not to take the mark of the beast, right? And so we got to be mindful of this, and we really have to set our heart on the things of heaven, not the things of the world. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning just for the truth of your word. We do pray for the peace of Israel. We do pray for the people of Israel. Father, they have all these problems because they didn't obey you back in the days of Joshua when you told them to destroy all the people in the land of Canaan, and they didn't. They kept many alive and just made them tributaries. They just had to pay taxes to Israel, and Lord, it's caused them problems ever since. But Lord, I know that you want people to be saved. I do pray, Lord, that Palestinians there in Gaza would be turned to Christ. Lord, I ask that you would turn the hearts of your people, the Israelites, back to you, preparing them, preparing their hearts and their minds for the true Christ. Lord, I know that things are being set up for the Antichrist, and Israel as a nation will follow the Antichrist for a short time. But Lord, would you continue to be with our missionaries that are there in Israel? Lord, just watch over, protect them, give them the opportunities they need to tell people about Christ. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to do that here in America. Help us to see where we need to be more active in living for Christ and telling people about Christ and, Lord, having the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. Father, I ask that you would just continue to bless our time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got about 5 minutes.